to this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
I think this year has been quite a year filled with trials, a year filled with tribulations, and we think we've all had our knocks, and we're looking forward to a good break. And I just want to thank you guys for the family that you are. I think going through these trials, it's awesome just having a family around, to support you, to send you a word of encouragement, to prophesy over you, to sing a song maybe, to pray for you, and just to have that assurance that somebody is covering your back and that you're not facing this alone. And this is really what I have on my heart today for the sermon. Just before we get into that, let's just pray. Father God, thank you, Lord God, for your fullness of spirit, Lord God. Father, thank you, Lord God, that is your desire to just manifest your presence here today amongst us. Father, I pray, Lord God, that our hearts just open to you, Lord God. Father, and I pray, Lord God, that you sear my lips, Lord God, Father, just to speak that which you want to speak, that which you want to tell your people, Lord God, and that which you want to express to your people. Father, renew our minds, Lord God, as we were saying, Lord God. Father, may your name be glorified in all, in Jesus' name. Cool. Got a very interesting sermon today. There's hashtags involved, so. It's a hashtag, yeah, hashtag, am, hashtag, I, hashtag, yeah, am, I. And it's really talking about God just coming, and he wants to really express himself. And he has really expressed himself amongst us this year. I think without a doubt, if I did not believe in him, and I've seen the support that we've had for one another, I would definitely be convinced that he's involved in our lives, that he's interested in our lives, and that he is alive. Okay. He's going strong. He hasn't fallen over. He hasn't grown weary. He never grows weary. And he continues to just love us and just pour that out all over us. Just go to the next one, please. Isaiah 65 verse 1 says, I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that was not called by my name. Can I read that again? I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am. Here I am to a nation that was called by my name. And this has been the dilemma throughout history. That people, when they, for the moment that they did not experience God, or a moment that they turned away, or a moment that they found something more exciting, they would turn their backs on him. And it would be as if he's dead, or he's gone, or he's not around, or he's not interested. But the truth remains that he's a God that is so much alive. Right, throughout history, this has been happening. And it's, It's a crazy thing, because all he wants to do is just express and say, here am I, here am I. And he got to the point where he says, listen, there can't be distance between us. And he was so generous that he sent his son to come be God amongst us. That's why he was called Emmanuel. He was God amongst us. He was here, he was involved. God wanted to express him. God didn't want to allow himself to leave our sight. People had to experience him daily. People had to experience him wherever they went. People had to know about him. They had to know that he's alive, that he's walking here amongst us. And that was the earnest desire of God. And that is something that we need to preserve. Even as we go into the holidays right now, it's something that we should not forget. Because even though the world out there that does not know him is still shouting, here am I, here am I. Somewhere out there, there's somebody that's going through some kind of struggle. Somewhere out there, there's somebody that is seeking for him. And all he wants to do is just to say, here I am, here I am. And it's something that is done through Jesus. He's really gone through, and through Jesus, he's just proven himself that he's alive and that he's involved. And he's proven himself to even go to the lowest of the lowest to go and approach them. Because it's for them that Jesus came. I want to talk about Jesus, especially something very special, is something that connected Jesus to these people. It was something that was birthed in him. It is a It's a word. It's a Greek word. I think Chris is our Hebrew and our Greek expert. Chris, pronounced the word.
Splanchnitsunai.
It's a very good attempt. Well done. Well done. It's a word called Splanchnitsunai. It's a very special word, and it refers to a very special kind of compassion. A compassion that Jesus had for people. Alright. And it's not the kind of compassion that we are used to. It's a different kind of compassion, because a normal kind of compassion says, oh, I feel for you. I see you don't have a pair of shoes. Maybe there's a pair of shoes. It's not the kind of thing I feel. This is about what I feel about. It's not a feeling of what I feel towards you. It's not a feeling. Okay, I feel like this, so I'm going to do this now. I feel like this, I'm going to do this. Now, it's a very different kind of compassion. It's a compassion that says, listen, I'm ready to express that which God wants to do in the situation. It's not an expression that I want. Because if it depended on Jesus, he would not go onto the cross. But it's a compassion that says, these people need a savior. These people need to be made righteous before God. I need to go up there and I need to die, because that is the greatest sign of love, and that comes from my dad. That comes from the Father. It's a proof that the Father is alive. He came in there and he did it for them. Alright. And this is something that I'm just gonna dig. This is something I'm gonna dig into. And it's Jesus just really wanting to glorify the Father. As you can see, I'm gonna go and just a little bit, just hang on this. If you can go to the next slide. In John chapter 5 verse 19, Jesus said to him, truly, truly, I say to you that the Son can do nothing out of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing, for whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son, and it shows him all that he himself is doing, and the greater works that these he will show you, so that you may marvel. Isn't that special? Isn't that a special deposit? It's amazing. It's God's love. He wants to show that, and he wants to have people involved. He goes about and he tells the Son, Son, I need you to do this. The Son does it without hesitation. Son, I need you to do that. And the Son just does it without hesitation. Because the Son loves the Father, and the Father loves the Son. It's amazing. And he says, greater works than these he will show him, so that he may marvel. There's a little parable, a modern parable, that Max Lucado tells about representing the Father. He tells that he's sitting on a plane, and coincidentally, like with most pastors, somebody special sits next to him. A rabbi, a Jewish rabbi, and he thinks to himself, boy, this is going to be very interesting, and he's going to start sharing the gospel with this guy. And the guy turns, they start chatting, and the plane takes off, and he's stuck with him. As it happens, can't move anywhere around. And the rabbi starts debating about it. And he actually starts engaging in the debate. And the rabbi says, listen, you guys know nothing about the Bible. And the rabbi says, okay, fine, I'll test you. The rabbi says, what is your interpretation of the commandment, you will not take the Lord's name in vain? And Max Lucado just responds and he says, well, first, you don't swear by it. You also don't use it for common stuff. You don't use it as a swear word, or when you drop a milk bottle, or you step on somebody's toe, or something like that. And the rabbi goes, oh, I told you you didn't know. And he says, this is what it means. And it starts by saying, a very wealthy man owns a big company, and the company is housed in a 50-plus story building. And this manager of the company resides on the top floor. He's got his own lift, his own private parking lot, and nobody ever gets to see this manager, because he comes in the morning before everybody, he goes in his private lift, he goes up to his top office, and nobody actually gets to see this guy. But his daughter comes in the front door every morning, and there's no doubt about it that this daughter belongs to that dad. Right? And she comes in, and she fires the first two people that she sees every morning. She tells somebody, oh, your dress doesn't look too good today. take another one, take it back home. So I don't want to look at you today. What's wrong with you? And immediately this creates an impression because nobody sees the Father. It immediately creates an image to say, listen, this is what the Father is like. The Father seems to be quite a cruel guy. The Father seems to be a very uncaring guy. But then you take it, the daughter comes in one morning and she compliments everybody. She says hi to everybody. She greets the security guard. She brings flour to the lady that sweeps. Immediately when she comes in, there's a different perception of this Father. I think everybody will just love to just work in this company. Everybody will look forward to actually one day meeting this guy. Everybody wants to walk into this guy and to just express their word of thanks to him. And that's the difference. That is actually what representing his name is. And that is what we are called to do. We're called to represent him in his fullness, in his glory. You go to the next slide. And something has complicated something. Previously, I was very flustered about this prayer, this John chapter 17 prayer, because it's got a lot of content. And you can get confused. But just watch, based on what I've just told you, just listen to this. John chapter 17 verse 6 says, I have manifested your name. Does that make sense? I have manifested your name, just like the daughter does. To the people whom you gave me out of them, gave me out of the world, yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for I have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them, and have come to know in the truth that I came from you, and they have believed that you sent me. Do you understand the impact that is when Jesus comes and he just represents the Father in his fullness? He comes to live on earth to express that which the Father wants. He has embraced that calling. That's the calling that the Father has placed on his life, to go out and represent him, because God wants to be known. God wants to be known amongst his people, and he wants relationship with his people. And he's not going to stop. He's going to keep on reflecting himself. But you know, there's something greater than this. Because Jesus left us a legacy. He left us a holy legacy. And this is also part of the John 17 prayer. He says, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask for these only, but also to those who believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. There's this calling on our lives to engage not only those who are around us, but those who are a bit further away from us. This is the calling that God has placed on our lives. It's to go out and to actually go out and represent him in that fullness. Everything we do, everything we say, everything we partake in is a reflection of that. And imagine how great life would be if we can wake up every morning saying, God, what is it that you want to do? What's it that you want to make happen today? What are we going to do together? Because I'm here for you. I'm not going to go out today and earn a salary for me. It's not about me at the moment. It's all about you. Let's see how I can express you to the world. How can I show the world that you are so very much alive, that you want to be part of this. You want to partake in those people's lives. And God wants to do that. He wants to say to somebody, here am I. And through his Son, he's made it possible for us to step up to the plate and partake in this, to actually be a reflection of him on this earth. And we don't have to be perfect. That's why there's something like grace. He allows that. And he has sent us a helper. But I'll get to that just now. I think sometimes it's, when I say something like this, it becomes a little bit of a burden. And I want you to shake that burden off. Go like this. Shake that burden off. Because listen what happens in Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 7. In the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Really? Do you see that he learned obedience to the Father? He didn't say Jesus knows obedience. It says Jesus learned obedience through those trials, through those suffering. And I can tell you now that these trials are, they're not as big as what you think. Some of them are quite small, but they work at you. They work at you. That's when somebody just starts irritating you. How are you going to respond? What does the Father think in that situation? What does the Father say about it in that situation? Right. You're trying to talk to somebody. You're trying to tell him about Jesus and he's not interested. What are you going to do? How are you going to respond? Somebody tells you, I'm not interested in Jesus. What can Jesus do for me? What's your response? What is it that God wants to say? What is it that God wants to do in that situation? If somebody tells you, listen, I don't like your vision. Your vision isn't so cool. I think there's something wrong with your vision. What do you want to do? It's something that God wants to do. And I can tell you now, it's not what we want to do. It's going to be something that's not normal. Let me tell you that much. And that's why it's important that we go about renewing our minds. That we start looking at things differently. But also that we start engaging with the Holy Spirit. That we engage with God. That we engage Him for who He is. That we start worshiping Him in spirit and in truth. That we worship Him for who He is, not what He can give. That we worship Him in spirit because He's spirit. We don't just do some fleshy kind of, No. We worship Him in spirit. We engage Him in spirit because that is where He operates. I'm going to get a bit practical, a bit easy as well. I think I'm just taking you guys in somewhere deep. Let's just bring it up for a while. I'm going to tell you three stories. The first story, one of them comes from the Bible, by the way. So don't worry. It's going to be good stories. Just go to the next slide, please. Just watch how God responds in these kind of situations. Okay, He's got a different way of responding to it. I'm just going to highlight a few things as we're going to go through it quite quickly. It's a little man called Zacchaeus. Has everybody heard of Zacchaeus? In Afrikaans is it Zacchaeus. It's got a ch. I love the ch. My name starts with a ch. Luke chapter 19 verse 1 to 10. He entered Jericho and was passing through. And there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and he was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was small of stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. Can you see? Something I just want to highlight is, usually when these things happen, Jesus is doing something. I think sometimes we're tempted to like, okay, we're just gonna pray, we're just gonna do healings, and we're just gonna do prophecies, and we're just gonna do, but just take note of this, that Jesus was doing something else. Jesus was going about spreading the gospel. He was going about breaking down the word so that those who have heart of understanding, they can understand, they can engage. He brought the word down to their level and he got that kind of fame because people were attracted to the Father. It's the Father that draws them. Okay. It says he passed through Jericho and there was a man named Zacchaeus and he was a chief tax collector. And I want you to understand that this is something normal. When you go on holiday, be on the lookout for these guys. These strange guys. Okay? It's not, imagine somebody with my kind of clothes. I think I'm pretty decent, pretty well dressed. So he was the rogue version of SARS. That was crazy. People hated this guy. People despised this guy. And look where Jesus finds him. I can imagine that because this guy was quite well dressed because he was rich. He sees him in a tree. Have you seen your MD climb a tree before? No. MDs of companies don't climb trees. It's weird. Okay. It's crazy. And this is the kind of people that you should be looking out for. I promise you, you won't be able to miss these guys. You are small of stature. I think the Afrikaans word for these guys is a stof trappie. Where's Neil? He ran ahead and he climbed to a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry up and come down. I'm going to come stay with you tonight. I'm going to stay at your house today. So he hurried up and he came down and received him joyfully. You see what an expectation does? He had an expectation. He just wanted to know. He was just curious. And suddenly something marvelously big happens in his life. This guy connects. You see, you can see the guy in the tree. And he can sit there and he can be like, wow, I saw Jesus. But then Jesus takes it a step further. He says, hi there, how are you doing? Can I come? Can you come down, please? I want to visit you. Come on, man. And he just takes this guy out of his comfort zone. He takes it out completely. It's crazy. And so he hurried and received him joyfully. And when he saw it, all of them, they all grumbled. And these were the people around him. And these are the kind of obstacles that we have to face. These are the kind of obstacles, because if you go up to an MD, it's like, no, I'm just the guy that sit there. I'm about 20 levels down. I think there's 20 managers between me and the MD guy. I can't go to that MD guy. What are people going to say when I start hanging out with the MD? That's an obstacle. It's an obstacle, but Jesus is not defined by status. Jesus is not defined by rank. Salvation does not discriminate. It's free. It's for everybody. All right. And even for this man, so he says he's gone in to be a guest of a man who is a sinner. And this was against everything that they stood for at that time. This was a case of defilement. This was something light. It was a case of defilement. The moment you go into a public senate house, you are automatically defiled. This means they're going to try and keep you out of the temple. You have to go cleanse yourself first because you went in. And Jesus is not intimidated by it. Jesus was never intimidated by it. Sin does not intimidate him. Hanging out with prostitutes does not intimidate him. And Zacchaeus is changed so much. Just gone to the last one there. That immediately comes to a point and he repents. This is the wonderful thing. Do you understand what the power of repentance is? Can you do that? Can you do the proper repenting thing? Because the moment Jesus comes in and he realizes who he is and he recognizes that God is alive, he wants to make things right. And immediately says, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he is also the son of Abraham. See how Jesus includes him in the family. Jesus includes him in the bloodline. You're not just part of the family now. You're part of a bloodline. You're a bloodline of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and save the lost. And this is something that's a bit crazy. Repentance is a difficult thing. I think that difficulty is displayed often in three simple words. Anybody guess what those words are? It's three words. It says, would like to. You know what I'm talking about. It's when somebody wants to repent and they go, I would like to repent. Do you know what danger that is? Because that immediately makes provision for you to do that again. It's not a matter of saying, listen, I'm dropping this and I'm taking that. It's a matter of saying, I would like to repent. I think I might still fail. I don't want to commit to anything now. I think I'm not strong enough for this one. I'm not convinced. I would just like to repent. But you know what? When you have a revelation of the Father's love, when you have a revelation of that which lies on the Father's heart, you will have the boldness and the confidence to actually just turn away. And that's that true repentance. It's where you get to the point and say, listen, I realize that this is not right. I repent. Simple as that. Two words. I even said, now you can do it quicker. Repentance becomes quicker now because there's three less words. Right. It's crazy. Don't fall into that trap of saying, I would like to. It's repent. It's like, God, I recognize this is wrong. I'm walking away from it. I'm not coming back there. Do you want to make it easier? Go to the next slide. Isaiah 30 verse 22. Then you will destroy all your silver idols and your precious gold images. You will throw them out like filthy rags and saying to them, good riddance. Because you know what? We try to fix things. We try to fix things. It's like, yeah, I won't worship the thing. You will just be an ornament on my table somewhere. I don't need to get rid of that thing right now. And that thing keeps there, and before you know it, you worship me that thing again. Alright, you gotta call it by its name, you gotta call it an idol. You gotta call it a mess. And you gotta walk away from it. There's nothing to salvage. Pick up something new. Declare death of that thing and take up something new. Don't try to fix that thing. Don't, like a dog, go and lick your vomit again. Don't go back. Pick up something. Go get, there's dog food there. I have dog food. Or have tablets that prevent you from puking or something. But don't go back there. Acknowledge that situation. Acknowledge that this is a mess. I think that's easy. I think the first step is just acknowledging that this is a mess. If you've sinned before, acknowledge that is a mess. Take bumper stickers, put bumper stickers and say, this is a mess. Put bumper stickers all over it so that it's known that it is a mess. Okay, so that you don't go back there. Okay, that's repentance for you. Can you see what that says? Say to it, good riddance. Cheers, oh, exclamatio, bye. Simple as that. Cheers, goodbye, good riddance. Comes with the Bible. Another story. This one's for the hopeless. Luke chapter 8 verse 43. And there was a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years. Though she had spent all her living on physicians, she could not be healed by anyone. She came up behind him and touched the fringe of his garment, and immediately a discharge of blood ceased. And Jesus said, who was it that touched me? And when all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds surround you and are pressing on you. Duh. But Jesus said, someone touched me, and I perceive that power has gone out from me. And when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him, declaring his presence of all the people why she touched him and how she had been immediately healed. Do you understand where power comes from? Jesus didn't say, okay, power, go. And something happened. Sometimes you have to look at these scriptures and you have to tell yourself what didn't happen there. Right? Jesus didn't say, woo, my spidey senses are going off. There's a sinner here. I just got defiled. That is not at all what happened. That is not what happened. Jesus said, someone touched me. For I perceive that power has left. Do you understand? When Jesus got baptized, the Spirit came upon him. And it's the very same Spirit that he has given us. Do you understand? There's a Spirit of power, a Spirit that wants to go to weakness. There's a spot there where the Spirit just wants to go. It doesn't want to be held back. Okay. Pray that you'll be filled with the Spirit. That you will be full of the Spirit. So that there's no lack of power. That there's no lack of power within you. So that when you go and there's a need, that the power can manifest. You need that power to manifest, because it's in that manifestation that people realize that God is alive, that God is interested, that God is alive. Right? Sometimes people just want to deny it. People are afraid. People come seeking. They've sought everywhere. And they realize that Jesus is the answer. And they come, and it's an attitude of begging. If I can only touch it, because that's my only hope, that's my only hope. How close can I get? How close can I get? And it's not Jesus wanting you to come up to his garment. He wants you to be much closer than that. Much closer. then the woman. When Jesus asked, "Who touched me?" Nobody wanted to answer. Nobody wanted to answer. And sometimes God is standing there. He says, "Here am I. I'm ready. Freely I'll give. Freely receive." Standing there. And nobody wants to respond. That's sad. That's sad that nobody wants to respond when the God of the universe comes. And he says, "Here am I." Because it's not just about you. It's about many others around you that need to know what just happened. Everybody knows that that woman has a problem. Everybody knows that's defilement again. If she touched Jesus, Jesus had to do that before he would go into the temple. But that doesn't intimidate Jesus. Jesus doesn't get affected by sin. It's crazy. So when God comes to you and God says, "Here am I," don't harden your hearts. Keep your heart soft. Embrace it. Because he will not reject you. He's standing with open arms. He expects you to take it. Take his hand when he puts it out. He says, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Because you know what? If I was her, I would think I just stole from Jesus. I think I just stole from God. And there's condemnation that awaits. There's no condemnation that awaits. Jesus says, "Go in peace." Jesus anticipates that. And he has made provision for that. And he's made provision for much more. It's not just that. He's made provision for much more than that. Last story. John 11 verse 1. Speaking about the obstacles again. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and his sister Martha." I wanted to do this in a Cape Townian accent, but I'm not. I am very tempted. Because you know what? I can see this playing off in Mitchell's plane. For some other reason, I can see this playing off in Mitchell's plane. Is Jesus sitting in Stellenbosch, ministering there, and he gets call from Martha and Mary down in Mitchell's plain. Say, "Jesus, come now." "It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill." Jesus, come now. "Lazarus, like as we know her umfang. He know me? No. So the sister sent him, saying, 'Lord, who you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'The illness does not lead to death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.'" Can you see this? It's so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. That's the reason. That's the motivation. That's the drive behind him doing this. Now, Jesus loved Martha and his sister and Lazarus. And so when he heard that he was ill, he stayed 2 days long in the place where he was. See, Jesus knows what's going to happen. He's fully aware of what is about to take place. He's fully aware of what is about to play down. Right? And then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you. Are you going there again?" Can you see what's going to happen? Jesus said, "Was nou die ander dag daar. Hulle gaan jou met die mes steek." Can you see this? It's crazy. It's like, you want to go there again? They're going to get you this time. Can you see the kind of discouragement? Because there's been a previous experience. You've prayed for somebody before and they didn't get healed. You've prayed for somebody before and their provisions were not met. Their needs were not met. You've prayed, you've done something, you've laid hands on somebody before. So don't go there again, you're going to be disappointed. Really? That's not what God thinks about it. Don't you want to give it another try? Try again. Go back to that place where you've been disappointed. Go back to that place where you think you're going to get hurt. But do it under the Spirit's influence. Don't go walking in Mitchell's plane right now. You're not, you might not come out alive. Do it because the Spirit is telling you, and because there's a very specific purpose that God is laying on your heart to go do there. And that's important. That's your safekeeping. That'll prevent you from getting hurt. It's the call of God and the direction of God, the direction of His Spirit to do that. So these guys close to Him and say, Rabbi, the Jews were just now seeking to stone you and they're going there again. Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble because he sees the light of the world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. After saying these things, he said to them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he's fallen asleep, but surely he's going to be waking up. Can you see that Jesus uses tact? Because you know what? Sometimes the Spirit lays something on your heart and you want to blurt it out. I've made that mistake too many times. Where you've just gone and you just said something and you can see everybody's like, because immediately it seems like you just disclosed something that was very private, something that's very intimate. And it requires that discernment and maturity and wisdom, and it's something that you should ask daily that the Spirit actually guards with. Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he will recover. Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in his sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus has died, and for your sake, I'm glad that I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him. So he encourages them, and he says, listen, calm down. Calm down. It will work out right. Trust me on this one. And they go with him, and they bear witnesses to what has happened. And Thomas the twin said to his fellow disciples, right, manna, let's go. We're also going to get stabbed with a knife. We're going to join him in failing. You see how hopelessness gets, sometimes you're surrounded by the hopelessness. But if you're anchored in that which God has told you to do, if you're anchored in that which God has put in your heart, there's no reason to fall back. There's no reason to step back. John 11 verse 32, and this is when Jesus was around. Now Mary came to where Jesus was and saw him. She fell at his feet, saying to him, Lord, if you've been there, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews had come also with her weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and greatly troubled. And he said, where have you laid him? And Jesus said to him, and they said to him, come and see. And in the shortest verse in the Bible, Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved him. Do you realize that this is not about the individual? Do you realize that Jesus knew that he was going to raise Lazarus? Do you realize he was aware of it? He didn't need to cry. He didn't need to cry. But what would that have done to the Father? It would have sold him short. Because the Father has compassion. The Father wants to be involved. And you know what? It's not just for that one person. It's actually for that whole community. That he wanted to reflect that which the Father has put into it. It's not about individuals. It's very seldom that it goes about individuals. Most of the time, it's for the benefit of all people around. Jesus didn't send out just one man at a time. Jesus sends out many. It's not about one person saving a nation. We're all part of this. We all have a part to play in this. And God comes and God enables that. In Acts chapter 1 verse 8. Something very special. Something very, very, very special. It's a well-known verse. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. The band come up. You see, there's something about the pouring out of the Holy Spirit that enables this. Even as Jesus in John 17 said, Father, I have sent them. He didn't send you with nothing. He sent us with His Spirit. He sent us by the power of His Spirit. He made that available to us. And it's that power that He wants to see manifesting all around. We are dependent on His Spirit. And we will be dependent on His Spirit as never before. We will need to rely on His Spirit. Because it's through the gifts of the Spirit that we prove that God is alive. To everybody around us. And to that orphan that you give a hug And you give a word of affirmation coming from the Father that changes his life. It's a word of prophecy that drives somebody who is ready to give up. Somebody is ready to give up, but somebody just walking into the lab and say, listen, this is your outcome. This is what God has in store for you that makes them going. There's many times in my life where I've just tried to give up and said, listen, this thing is not bearing fruit. But it's that little prophecy that somebody speaks over your life that makes you keep on going. And it's something that can keep you on going for years. It's not just for now. A prophecy spoken back when I was a child still takes effect now. God is not a God of just today and tomorrow. God is a God that has been and a God that will be. He's the beginning, he's the end, he's the Alpha, he's the Omega. And throughout that whole process, he wants to be involved. Even after Adam and Eve disappointed him severely, he did not give up. He wanted to be very involved in this. It's for this reason that he loves his body and that he gives himself. He doesn't hold back. He gives himself completely. And he's given very specific things. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 28 says, here are some of the parts God has appointed for the church. First, apostles. Second, our prophets. Third, our teachers. Then those who do miracles. Those who have a gift of healing. Those who can help others. Those who have a gift of leadership. Those who speak unknown languages. Do you realize that all of these things are so that God can reach his people? God wants to say to them, here I am. Here I am. Let us not reject him. Let us not harden our hearts when he calls. Let's represent him in his fullness of glory. Not partially. Let's wake up in the morning saying, God, what is it that you want to do today? What are we doing together today? Being excited about that. Partaking in that. If they can dish out the communion. There's something special happening here today. And I'm trusting God that his spirit will be so alive in each and every one of us that we will not be able to deny it. It's a point where people will come and say, listen, there's something different. There's something different about you. What is it? And they will know God first and then the person that God is using. I pray that the power will manifest in such a way that he will not be denied. He will not be denied. We will prophesy. We will see visions. We will see dreams. We will bring words of encouragement. We will take up leadership positions in places where we've never thought possible. Not because we are able, but because God has appointed us to be there. God has appointed us for a purpose. And God will not draw back on his purposes. It took Job 42 chapters to come to the conclusion that God's purposes will not be withheld from him. It took a lot of suffering to come to that one simple conclusion. God will do what he wants to do. And as God stands and says, here I am, there's a very good response that you can give to him as well. He says, yeah, I am. And we can say, God, here am I. Use me. Fill me with your spirit. And I might go out and I might show the world that you are alive. You are not a dead God. You're the God of Abraham. You're the God of Isaac. You're the God of Jacob. You're a multi-generational God. God that loves, God that sends his son to this world, that they might not be condemned, but that they'll be saved. Because he wants to see you saved. He wants to be you, and in his justice, he has made a way.